Good morning to all of you. Rocky could relate to Peter because his name is Rocky, Peter the Rocky. I don't have a name that even come close to Peter's name, but my name, Rajan, is close to Raja or Raj, which means a king. But I must admit that I'm without a king, without a kingdom or a crown. But I have a king whom I serve, and so did Peter. So we are going to look at Peter's life this morning. And there were three references that were given in the bulletin. Matthew 14, Mark 1, and Luke 5. So the first disciples, Andrew and Simon, sons of Jonah, as we see in John 1, 35 through 39. It's up here on the screen. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought to him Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated as stone. Now, John the Baptist was preaching as the one crying in the wilderness about the baptism of repentance and the arrival of the Messiah. Andrew became a disciple of John the Baptist and probably witnessed the baptism of Jesus in River Jordan. The ministry of John was short-lived since his gruesome murder arranged by Herod. This is the entrance to the town of Capernaum, which used to be called Capernaum. So it's the district of Nahum, somebody by the name of Nahum. So Capernaum is now turned to Capernaum, the town of Jesus. Capernaum, or Capernaum, the hometown of Simon Peter, although he was born in Bethsaida, a nearby village. This was also where Jesus of Nazareth lived and made it his headquarters as an adult. And he moved around the region of Judea, Decapolis, Galilee, and other places, preaching about the kingdom of God and the need to believe in him to be saved from their sins to inherit eternal life. This is the gate to the town of Capernaum. Some of you who have been to Israel is familiar with this, which is by the Sea of Galilee. Which is only a tourist area now. Capernaum was on an ancient trading route that connected the north and the south, and a Roman garrison of soldiers were stationed there in Capernaum. Now, here's a statue of Peter erected in the town with the shepherd's staff in his hand. You can see the Sea of Galilee behind the statue. And there is an inscription at the feet of that statue, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build the church." And you can see the influence of the Catholic Church in the land of Israel. And all the tourist sites will have churches. And here is one that shows St. Peter's the way to St. Peter's house that used to be. Now it's a Catholic church right above it. And this is a church that is built on the remains of a house believed to be that of Simon Peter. Now, from the glass floor inside the church, you can see the remains of the old church that was built above Peter's house that was destroyed. And you can see the church that is built above Peter's house. And this is a modern Catholic church that was built. And this, from the archaeology done in that area, that is the remains of St. Peter's house, or Peter's house. And here's a close-up view of the remains of the house of Peter before the church was built on it, as the archaeologists found it. And here's an aerial view of the house on the top left, and that of the synagogue at the time of Jesus close to the bottom right. As Jesus was beginning his ministry at Capernaum, he asked Peter and Andrew, James and John to follow him. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and taught. And you can see the synagogue. This is a 4th century synagogue that was built on the site of the old synagogue at the time of Jesus, where he attended and taught at Capernaum. And this is another statue that says, "Feed my sheep," of Peter. And that's a view of the Lake of Galilee. And here's a picture of some of us wetting their feet in the Lake of Galilee. Now, here is our lunch one day, fish and chips. This fish is called St. Peter's fish, supposedly from the Lake of Galilee. Jesus' disciples, Simon, Peter, and Andrew and James, Peter and Andrew, James and John, were all fishermen from Capernaum, mainly a fishing village then. Capernaum is considered the headquarters of the ministry of Jesus. We can get a picture of the places around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus ministered. Jesus, after his baptism and temptation by the devil, left Judea and went through Samaria according to the divine plan to have the encounter with a woman at Jacob's well to introduce himself as the Messiah to the region of Samaria, which Jews considered a pagan, unholy place, especially since some of the Jews who intermarried with the Gentiles and their descendants who occupied there. They had their own made-up religion and distorted form of worship, though they claimed to follow the Torah. Through Samaria, Jesus went to Cana of Galilee, where he performed his first miracle of turning water into wine, and moved on to Capernaum. Some of these places would be familiar to you from the Bible. I don't have a pointer to show, but that's the place where Jesus was supposedly baptized by John. Then you can see the town of Mary of Magdala, and Dalmanutha, and Tabgha, where he fed the 5,000, and the Mount of Beatitude, and Capernaum, and Bethsaida, and Gergesa, that's on the other side of the lake. And this is a picture, an old black and white picture or a painting of the ruins of the temple on Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worshipped. A Samaritan pilgrimage to Mount Gerizim during Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles. Now we have the three portions that are given for us to consider this morning. Now, I have not given you more than enough background. Now let us consider the three instances involving Simon Peter and his interactions with Jesus. Appreciate if someone could read each of these four portions, starting from the top. Mark 1, 16 through 18. Matthew 4, 18 through 19.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Luke 5, 1 through 11.
Said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night long and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from here on forth you will catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook everything and followed him.
Matthew 14:21-34. Thank you. What can we learn about Peter from these events? And his first encounter with Jesus was, as we read from John's Gospel in chapter 1, we see now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated as stone. Surely, Andrew had explained to him about hundreds that repented and got baptized, and also about the baptism of Jesus. It was the testimony of John that he saw the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove and remaining on him. I'm not sure if Andrew ever told Jesus his brother's name, but Jesus, by looking at him, and said, You are the Simon of Jonah. Simon will be known by his new name, Cephas, or Peter. This is the first call of Peter. His acceptance of the Messiah was based on Andrew's testimony. Now, the Mark's chapter 1 portion, and as he was walking by the sea, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea. And he invited them to follow him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And also, the Matthew's portion, he found the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And he told them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. This is Peter's second call. It was a direct command by Jesus. Peter and others complied immediately. They did not wait to consult anybody or thought about their future. Jesus did not explain in detail the purpose of the call to follow him. By now, Jesus had established his authority by teaching in the synagogues and doing many miracles and healing many sick. Neither Peter nor others questioned Jesus at this time. They had submitted to his call and willing to do whatever he commanded. Now, in Luke 5, 1 through 11, we can see Peter, his skepticism, that's Peter's skepticism to put the net out. In verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He was exhausted by casting the net time after time during the night and frustrated for not catching any fish. And he was ready to sorry, I'm getting used to facetious laptop here. They were ready to clean their net and go home and sleep. Peter, being an experienced fisherman, no one needs to tell him how or where to fish. He grew up on the Lake of Galilee. It is the Messiah telling him to cast the net into the deeper water. His obedience to the Lord paid off, as we see. The net was breaking, and they needed James and John and his partners to come for help. Both boats were full and nearly sinking. Of course, Jesus could keep the boats afloat. This was another miracle Peter had personally experienced. In verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He did not think that they were going to catch anything based on his fisherman's experience. He was prominent in his trade. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter was remorseful for his sin of unbelief. It was his confession of his lack of faith. No excuses. Jesus consoled him by saying, don't be afraid, and inspired him to be fishers of men. He probably did not understand what it really meant at the time. Day by day, Jesus impressed his authority on Peter as the Lord and Master. He healed many sick, cast out demons, and performed miracles. His own mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. Later, he admitted that Jesus is the Son of God. He was willing to follow Jesus wherever he went. He became an ardent follower and defender of Jesus. So his skepticism to put the net out, and then his obedience despite his skepticism, now his wonder and amazement at the catch, then his recognition of his own foolishness as he knelt down at Jesus' feet, and then his remorse for his lack of faith and he forsook everything and followed Jesus. And in Matthew, in this instance, this instance was occurring immediately after the feeding of the 5,000 or the 5,000 men, besides men and children, besides women and children. Jesus creates a perfect scenario. He sent his disciples by the boat to the other side of the lake, to Gennesaret, and stayed back to send the multitude away to their homes and went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus created this perfect storm. The disciples were in the boat, and they were being tossed around in the middle of the lake at about the fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 a.m. They left around 6 p.m. So they've been struggling in the wind, but the fierce wind was against them. And Jesus was praying while they were struggling, being pushed back by the wind. Wonder if the disciples prayed, or why Jesus left them alone instead of miraculously saving them. And we know that there is a reason why he did that. He had to teach the disciples certain lessons, to trust in him as they followed him. And we now know that Jesus came walking on the water and approached the boat. Now, he could have, from the land, he could have controlled the winds. He didn't do that. And they did not recognize, and he walked on water and approached the boat. And they did not recognize him. It was a total darkness. The disciples could barely see him and thought it was a ghost. And fear gripped them, and they cried out. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." That's the lesson that he wanted the disciples to learn, that when they go through difficult circumstances, the tendency is to be afraid and give up. But the Lord encouraged them, and he taught them how to depend on him and to pray when they are in difficulty. And the Lord is always near them, and he is always aware what conditions they were in. Now, of course, Peter is the one who spoke out first. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." For he was not sure if it was the Lord. He wanted to make sure, and he ventured to walk out on the water as Jesus said, "Come." Peter began to sink as he focused on the strong winds and the waves. As long as he kept his focus on the Lord, he was doing fine. As he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus stretched his hand and caught him and said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the winds stopped. There are many lessons for us to learn from here. As we go through life, we could be facing challenging situations over which we have no control, and we cannot control every situation. But we know that our Lord is near us, and his presence is with us, and he's always willing to help, and he's always willing to show his grace, and he would come and talk to us and say, "It is I, do not be afraid." Now, fear can paralyze us into inaction, but God can grant us his grace so that we are not paralyzed. Now, when we look at Peter, as Jesus called him to follow him, the last words that that Jesus spoke to Peter was "follow him," because the Lord knew what kind of a death Peter would die. Peter would be crucified, and he would follow his footsteps even to the cross. Yet Peter was a humble man, and he did not want to be crucified the same way as the Lord was crucified. And he humbled himself and requested that he would be crucified upside down. And Peter was a man of action. As we go through the Gospels, we can see that he never shied away. He was the first one out in front. He was the leader of the band. And his brain always followed his mouth. His mouth didn't follow his brain. And he was a man, sometimes man of action without thinking. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cut off the ears of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And Jesus prohibited him from doing that. But Peter always stood in front, and he always was the man of action. I had to borrow Rocky's description of Peter. John MacArthur, in his 12 Ordinary Men, wrote this, and that was Rocky quoted from that book. Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name except Jesus. No one speaks as often as Peter. No one has spoken to the Lord as often as Peter. No disciple is so frequently rebuked by the Lord as Peter. And no disciple ever rebukes the Lord except Peter. No one else confessed Christ more boldly and acknowledged his lordship more explicitly. Yet no other disciple ever verbally denied Christ as forcefully or as publicly as Peter did. No one is praised and blessed by Christ the way Peter was. Yet Peter was also the only one Christ ever addressed as Satan. The Lord has had harsher things to say to Peter than he ever said to any of the other disciples. May God bless us and learn from the life of Peter. But he was an ardent follower and a faithful follower of Jesus, even though there were weak moments in his life, and he denied Christ during his trial, and he was in hiding. There was a timid side to Peter, as well as the brave side of Peter. He was a brave disciple, as well as a timid one. Now, there are many things that we can learn that we should be thoughtful as we follow our Lord. And if we are called by the Lord to follow him, we have to take into consideration that he is our Lord and our Master, and we can always depend on him. And even when go through challenging times, he is our friend in need. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for you have shown your love to each one of us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We thank you for calling us at different times, but you have extended your divine love, your unfailing love to each one of us. Your grace is greater than all our sins. We may have our failures, our weaknesses, but we know that our Lord knows all our weaknesses and our failures, but Jesus always comes to our aid. And he is at the right hand of the Father, advocating for us. What a blessed hope we have, because you have called us and made us your children. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us, and as we go through the life of Peter, help us to learn our mistakes and our virtues that we have inherited from Christ, that we can follow him. We can correct our mistakes and follow him. And we pray that you would draw us nearer and nearer and sanctify us and keep us in your grace. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.